It's March 4th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest running tech podcast, show number 840, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 35% off by using promo code GO35OFF5. GNC is also sponsored by DYN, that's Dyn.com. Get 30% off DNS and email products and services at Dyn.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everybody, got a great show for you tonight. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from an undisclosed location via the Geek News Central HD mobile broadcast studio. Yes, why all the secrecy? Well, a couple of the folks that I'm working with this week have asked me not to disclose my location for fear that word may get out that I'm working with them, so... I am in a, remote location. I've got the stream like throttled way down. I'm worried about being able to keep the stream live tonight, so we're keeping our fingers crossed that everything will stay up online as far as the live stream goes. I left one of my cables at home, so the hard drive that I normally record the video to is not hooked up, so I'm actually recording to my MacBook directly, and that is usually fraught with concern. So we'll see at the end of the show if I really end up with a video. What I did is I scaled back the size and the bit rate, so hopefully we can have a good recording of the show tonight. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana and listeners from around the world. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here. And of course, you know, let's see if I can back on the mobile broadcast studio, if I can actually switch again and switch to the screens that I need to. But hey, we want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content on the website. Really, what you, all you need to do is really is get over to Geek News Central. You're going to find in the second column of the website there some links to subscribe via iTunes or RSS feed. You'll also see a link in the top corner to the newsletter. We really want you to get subscribed to the newsletter and the show. That way you'll never miss a single episode. The newsletter is put out immediately following the show, and it's really, well, all it contains is information that I'm going to cover tonight. It's going to have all the different articles, so I think you're going to you know, really like the newsletter, because it's got lots of great information for you. You basically all the links to everything that we're going to talk about during the show today. So anyway, again, get over to geeknewscentral.com and get subscribed to the show. Of course, you can watch the show on did we just reset on the stream? I don't know. We can watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, on the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, and Google TV. So definitely check that out. And of course, you can always contact me at Twitter via at Geek News. The email address is always available as well, geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, our hotline is available 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. We really want you to get subscribed to the newsletter. That's the way to really stay connected. And, you know, having subscribed to the show obviously is important as well. So what's going on? Well, Saturday Morning Tech, we did one this past Saturday, and it was a great show. Was able to get one knocked out with Rob and get it online. Of course, Rob emailed me and said, hey, Todd, there looks like some lip sync issues with the video. So I don't know what the heck's going on there. We'll look at that when I get back to Honolulu and make sure everything's dialed in right there. But, you know, having not been running the home studio very much. You know, sometimes the things can get out of whack a little bit, so we'll make sure that's all squared away for the next event. And if there is a little bit of a sync issue, I can always adjust it, and it fixes it. So I have found a new host for the Chrome Show. I've got to get some album art over to him and some other information. I think you guys are going to be shocked on who it is. Those of you in the podcasting space will know who the host is. Matter of fact, I give you guys a little hint. He's the owner and operator of PodcastPickle.com. So, Gary Leland is going to be our new Chrome Show host. He's agreed to take over the Chrome Show and run it for at least a year. I'm looking forward to having Gary on as the new host of the Chrome Show. So just a little discussion. Some of the things I'm doing this week is I'm visiting some studios. I can say that, and doing some consulting with some media companies. So very busy schedule this week. I'm bouncing around. A couple of more stops this week before I head back to Honolulu on Saturday. So we'll have a regular show, obviously, on Thursday. Be up live for you, and then of course there'll be. With the No Saturday Morning Tech this coming Saturday, largely because I'll be in an airplane on the way home. So hope you'll bear with us here as we do the show on the road. And I can see that Wirecast is not holding the green real well. You can see a little bit of keying issue here and a little green around the edges of my shirt. We got the lights good tonight, so I don't know why it's not. Sometimes it doesn't key super good, but anyway. Oh, I don't think we're streaming right now. Let me take this down. Are we streaming? Flash. Let me look and see if we're actually online or not. Are we streaming now? It doesn't look like it. Oh, that just sucks so bad. All right, let's go. What's going on here? We lost the connection to... Oh, that just sucks. That just sucks so bad. Well, let me reinitialize here. We have the technology to do that. And reconnected. I heard the modem click off. So hopefully that was that's a one-time occurrence here. But that's, you know, part of the challenge of being remote is that, sometimes the connection drops. And are we back online? Yeah, I think I don't know if we are or aren't. It shows buffering, so maybe we are, so maybe we're back online. Okay, so much for having a great stream tonight. That's just the way it works sometimes. So, what else? I guess that's about it on what's been going on with me. But I do want to take a minute here, and I want to thank our sponsors for the show. And as you guys know, the sponsors are responsible for keeping the lights on and allowing me to do what I do. And so I want you to really think about supporting them if you can. And, of course, our first sponsor tonight is our good friends over at GoDaddy.com, and we've got some great deals going on this month. Really, this is pretty incredible. We've got $1 economy hosting for 12 months. So basically, it's $1 per month for 12 months for economy hosting, and that's using promo code HOSTDEAL2. And again, this is on new plans only. Or we've got a 35% off code by using GO35OFF2. And again, GoDaddy has hooked us up with these two great deals for this month. You can find all this information, of course, over at Geek News Central. And really, all you got to do to get hooked up is come over to geeknewscentral.com and really just click on the GoDaddy link on the website, and that'll get you dialed in. And you'll be able to get access to all of my codes And really, that's where the rubber hits the road. Of course, there will be a link in the show notes. All you got to do is click on those as well. So we want to thank GoDaddy. Of course, our $295 code is still available. Again, $295.com, a single .com. You can only get one, not three anymore. The 35% code by using Go35Off5. And, of course, the $1 hosting per month code, again, HostDeal2. So I'll leave these codes up here for a little bit, and you can make use of them and support the show here at Geek News Central. So I guess looking at my stack here of stuff, let's see, you're talking about that. Yes. Oh, I may have, it's in work. There, you know, I've been debating on whether or not I'll be attending NAB. And I think at this point, it looks like I'm a go. There's some things that are pending, potential announcements here by me in the next week or two on NAB. I'm very excited about what the potential is. As you guys know, I've been looking for a sponsor for NAB. I've had a few bites on that front, so we'll keep you advised on what happens there. But I'm really excited about the potential of NAB and all the announcements that are potentially going to come from the show. And, of course, we'll be there to report on it. Not as heavy as, obviously, as like CES. But, you know, one thing's for sure is that there's going to be some cool stuff announced. And I'll basically cover the majority of it. And, of course, the team will at Geek News Central as well. I think we're just about done, finally, with all of the CES videos. And you're going to see a lot more regular content coming back to the show. Boy, it's been a long time. 250-some videos posted up on the website. And I know that you guys have been subscribed to them because I've been watching the stats and basically the utilization there. So pretty happy with that exposure so far. All right, so let me go ahead here and get into the regular stack of stuff tonight. I do have a pile of content to cover. I want to start off and just kind of delve into this iWatch. You know, as you guys know, I don't wear a watch. You know, I haven't wore one for years. Have seen no reason to because, you know, my iPhone has been in my pocket, and really there's been no need, you know, for all this time to, you know, I look at the time, it's 7:58. I know it's March 4th. So from that perspective, you know, I really haven't had a need to have a watch. So I really don't, you know, does this, you know, with this iWatch thing, are they going to, you know, is it going to be this link between the phone and your watch? You know, I don't know. It's just kind of a weird combination here. So I guess if you are, you know, used to wearing a watch and once, you know, like the coolness factor, I guess maybe if you don't have one, you're not a hipster or something to that effect. But I really just don't understand really this, you know, what the big deal is about the iWatch. And, you know, I guess Apple's going to do something cool, but why? Why do we need the iWatch? And a lot of people think that the iWatch has this huge potential to really do a huge amount of business. And to me, it's just another device that's going to need to go on the charger. You know, I've been playing Ingress on the Android device. And I tell you, you know, that's just a battery sucker. I mean, when you're doing this Ingress game, it is just insane how much power it uses when you're doing all these graphics. And you know, carrying my iPad and carrying my iPhone and in all this other gadgetry, it's just all I really don't need is another device to charge. You know, I look here in the hotel room, and you know, I got two computers sitting here. I got three different devices. You know, it's kind of nuts, you know, the amount of batteries we're lugging around. Just think about the weight in batteries that we're all humping each day. So, you know, I don't know if I agree with CNET in their assertion here that, you know, that the planet awaits the Apple iWatch or iWhatever. You know, I'm really excited about the potential for, obviously, the Apple TV. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, I think that's going to be, to me, that's more exciting than anything. And I think if you guys listen to Saturday Morning Tech and had the creator of the Mesh.tv website, really, he's in the same conclusion, you know, where, you know, we get to the point where we can click through on a TV and change from YouTube to Geek News Central to Engadget to TechCrunch and, you know, the different channels on those devices. That's where it's exciting for me. But I don't know. An iWatch, I don't know. You'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on this, and definitely email me, your comments. But geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to drop me an email if you want to talk about this. Hey, we're on Extreme Tech, switching topics here. Obviously, one reason for Apple's overpriced cables, the Lightning Digital AV adapter, is because it has its own, basically its own processor in it. And, you know, sending video from your phone or tablet to the TV is really pretty useful. And, you know, many options exist for doing so wirelessly, though most existing solutions are highly compressed and really pretty laggy. You know, obviously if you wire something, you want to have a crisp 1080p signal from your iPhone, your iPad, and the best bet is to plug it directly into Apple's own $49 Lightning Digital AV adapter. Well, sadly, it seems that this latest design of the device, it's really what is designed to work with the new Lightning connector, isn't putting out full 1080p. Even worse, it seems that it's introducing some compression artifacts, and now comes a search for truth amongst all the internet rage that's kicked up against the Apple fans. And so basically what's going on is through some independent testing by the name of by the guy named Kabul Sassar, he found out that he discovered that using the old dock connector, the AV adapter will output a full 1920 by 1080. But the new Lightning AV adapter tops out at 1600 by 900. In fact, it has a minuscule ARM, and it's sporting upwards of 256 megs of RAM. And he thinks that it's using the same compression used in AirPlay to stream out the video, and that would explain the lag and the artifacting being introduced. So people are really pissed. And the internet obviously went viral, and lots of folks are basically talking about Apple screwing consumers. But Apple's basically saying, hey, this is not an HDMI connection. This is a serial connection. We can't get a full 1920 by 1080 out of it. You know, come on, how about some disclosure? You know, let's have some, explain to us what this cable does and the limitations of it. You know, you don't shell out the $49 for this new adapter. And, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do so with the quality that is being put forth. And you want to go over and look at the Extreme Tech article, because you'll actually be able to see the artifacting that's happening. They took pictures of their screens, and you'll be able to get a quick look at that and be able to tell what's going on. All right, next article up is article over at Tech Dirt. And, let me kill that. It's been a number of years since I've been in Bahrain. Matter of fact, I haven't been in Bahrain since 2004. That was the year I got hurt, and that's where I got hurt. And Bahrain was always a country that, as an American, you could pretty much go around and be safe. Recently, there's been lots of protests going on in Bahrain. The people have not been real happy with it. And there's definitely a caste system there. Your upper echelon, kind of your top, you really kind of a semi-rich, and then really the poor. There's really no middle class in Bahrain. But apparently Bahrain has banned, and let me show you guys this. This is, you guys are going to kick out of this. Bahrain has banned the import of the of masks, specifically the Guy Fawkes mask. They've been banned. And so many people had bought those. The dissidents that were trying to hide their, you know, their images here, will hide their faces because, you know, they're worried about retaliation from the regime. And I'll be straight up. When I was in the hospital, the emir, because I was a guest of the country, the emir had put me up in his wife's, and it's kind of funny, his wife's hospital room. And that's where I was at, in the Bahraini hospital there. And world-class healthcare. I was taken care of better there than the healthcare I got when I came back to the United States and had to go to Triple Army Medical Center for follow-up treatment. But, you know, definitely, you know, they have universal health care in Bahrain. Everyone's treated no matter what. But the lower wards are not what you would call, well, they're wards. And there's lots of people in them. They're very noisy. And you don't want to be an American in those wards. It, you know, it can be a little uncomfortable. And plus, the people that are in there, they're not used to having Americans in and around if there might be an Arab woman or something. But long story short, or Bahraini woman, I'm sorry, this mask has been banned from being imported. And I'm sure people are going to find a way. And they're even trying to outlaw. Dubai has even moved to outlaw the mask. So, so it's not only Bahrain, but... you know, next thing people are going to be doing is, you know, they're, believe me, where there's a will, there's a way. They'll find different different ways to protest. But I found it interesting that, you know, aren't you glad you live in America where you can wear a mask or a horse head or whatever you want to wear and not be constricted to do so? You know, I think that's worth noting. Okay, so let's talk a little bit here about Prenda. We've talked about Prenda law quite a bit, but, you know, Prenda now is in the news again. They have commenced 3 defamation, libel, and conspiracy suits against defense lawyers, defendants, and all blogger and commentators at the Die Troll Die and Fight Copyright Trolls website. The suits are been put forth in different state courts, each attempt to identify anyone who has criticized Prenda law and fine them $200,000 each for stating their opinions and prohibit them from ever criticizing Prenda. Again, I guess I'll have to look at my mailbox when I get back to Honolulu. But here we go again with this this ridiculous group. And matter of fact, they're even going after the one guy that showed up in court who said that he thought he was subject of identity theft when he was, you know, basically being indicated that he was a CEO of one of the companies and he had nothing to do with it. So long story short, they are, again, filing lawsuits against people who are criticizing them. Just amazing. Now, they're going to have another day in court on March 11th. I can't, this is going to be so exciting when we find out what happened. So, you know, while the copyright troll printed law, you know, has done all these lawsuits, they basically now have gotten instructions from the judge in Florida. And Judge Wright has consolidated a bunch of the Gibbs / Prenda cases so that they were all included for the sanction hearings on March 11th. Now, check this out. If you don't think this judge isn't pissed, then he's asking the lawyer to answer some basic questions. Number one, the names and contact information of senior members of the law firm that employ Mr. Gibbs in an of counsel relationship. The names and contact information of the persons who make strategic decisions, whether to file actions, who to sue, and whether to make a certain settlement demand or accept an offer of settlement. Number three, the names and contact information of the owners of those copyrights. If these owners are business entities, then provide in addition the names and contact information of the principals of these entities and the names and contact information of the principals of AF Holdings LLC and Ingenuity 13 LLC. So this judge wants to know who owns this company, these companies, who's behind this, who are the real faces, and, you know, this goes back to the you know, back in the fall where there was a very strong conversation between the judge and Mr. Lutz, who was identified as a former paralegal for the group, And this court had asked this guy a bunch of questions, and he had basically responded, "I have no idea, I have no idea, I have no idea, I have no idea, don't know who pays me, don't know who the leader of the company is, I haven't met anyone, someone in accounting, blah, blah, blah." So anyway, it's going to be good. And I hope the court just absolutely rips this company to shreds. The transcript is going to be fascinating, and we'll be reporting on it as soon as the information comes out on the 11th. Well, the Army, apparently, because of sequestration and the cuts that have happened and the vision of the president, is basically trying to figure out what they have done wrong. So, you know, this is a tough time for the Army. It's a reward for fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan for the past 12 years is to have really themselves downsized. And it's budget slash. Well, this kind of feels almost like Clinton era time again, because that's what happened when Clinton became president. He slashed the military hack, and it was ugly. So worse, from a ground forces perspective, its future relevance is in question, and the defense strategy of the administration unveiled in 2012 is big on robots, commandos, and air and sea power in places like Asia. So what are they going to do? If you're the Army, they're commissioning a study on why the strategy is a looming disaster. So last week, the Army put out feelers to small businesses for a view of their strategy and the weak points of the administration. In other words, they want someone to look at the administration's thought process and say, okay, what is wrong with their thoughts? You know, what's wrong with their plan? So, you know, they're going to get cut big. And, you know, they're the biggest, they have the biggest number of people, biggest budget, and it's really, you know, sequestration and everything else, even with regular cuts, is going to be devastating to the Army in a big, big way. And really, I don't know enough about the whole aspect of what's changing to really offer an opinion, but I found it was curious that the Army had went out and basically was looking for people to really look at the administration's strategy and dissect it and come up with arguments for and against. All right, over on Mars, Mars Curiosity rover is put into safe mode after a glitch. This is the first time Curiosity's had trouble. Basically, NASA engineers are looking into a possible cause for the files on the robot's flash memory to being damaged. The fault means the rover's work has been put on temporary hold while the backup computer is reconfigured so it can take full control. So they are on the B computer, and the folks over there say we're not in trouble. They have several days, maybe a week of activities to get everything back and reconfigured. The rover has been running on the backup computer since Thursday. They switched the computers to get a standard state from which to begin restoring routine operations. But on the robot's Twitter feed, NASA wrote, "Don't flip out. I just flipped over to my B-side computer while the team looks into an A-side memory issue." Now, of course, we know that previous rovers have had troubles with stray cosmic rays. And the folks basically over at NASA said the hardware that we fly is radiation tolerant, but there's a limit to how hard it can be. And he says you can still get high-energy particles. It can cause memory to be corrupted. It certainly is a possibility, and that's what we're looking into. And but this happened just as Curiosity had begun analyzing rock samples. So anyway, this is they'll get her back up and running, I'm sure, with no issues. But NASA, again, having some challenges with Curiosity. All right, Japan plans to restart most of their thermonuclear reactors. And I don't think we should be surprised with this. The French nuclear company that helped supply Japan with a lot of its juice says that Japan is going to restart up to 6 reactors by the end of the year. Eventually, it's going to power up at least 2/3 of them. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has been a little cagey, but recently told the press that yes, despite the upcoming March 11th anniversary of Fukushima, the nuke plants are coming back online. They have to. They are running so short on power in Japan. You know, they're still doing power shedding and not letting AC run in buildings. And let's be realistic. Nuclear power has its challenges, but at the same time, for small countries like Japan, it's, you know, the cost of importing oil. That's one of the reasons why my electricity cost went up so much, is because when Japan switched to oil, it caused a shortage in that market and drove our prices way up. So I hope they get their reactors back online so that the demand on that particular oil, that light sweet crude that Hawaii uses in their power plants, is able to be got a little cheaper so my electricity price goes down. But also so that Japan can continue to be productive. All right, this one here is going to make you all smile. Over on The Verge, a notorious UK, yes, a notorious UK cyber criminal was allowed into prison IT class, and predictably he caused some chaos. Well, this guy is in jail for hacking. And Nicholas Weber's rap sheet basically reads a who of criminal of basically rap sheet of IT intrusions. But somehow he was able to join an IT class at his prison in South London. And of course, the 21-year-old is currently serving a 5-year sentence after authorities caught him using stolen information to make extravagant purchases. As a leading figure behind the Ghost Market, which is a website that does cracks, viruses, basically all kinds of bad stuff. But apparently, the person doing the class didn't know this guy's background. So what did he do? Of course, he hacked his way into the jail's computer network. The class has been shut down and he is back in his cell. the irony. You're going to let this hacker into an IT class and the prison says, oh, he never had access to the outside internet. Right. Oh my gosh. Funny. All right. The White House says that it's time to legalize cell phone unlocking in its official petition response. Basically, the president is proposing to legalize the practice of unlocking cellular phones in the United States. In short, the administration agrees wholeheartedly that the 114,000 people who believe consumers should be able to unlock their cell phones without risking criminal or other penalties should be able to do so. As for what happens now, the administration makes clear that it's open to a range of solutions, saying that neither criminal law nor technology law should prevent consumers from switching carriers when they're no longer bound by a service agreement or other obligation, and it's calling on the FCC to take a closer look at the situation. Ha, 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 ha. Coinciding with the White House reply, FCC Chairman Julius Janowski today released his own statement insisting that a ban on unlocking doesn't pass the common sense test. So basically, they're currently examining the issue. So we'll see. Maybe. But there is going to have to be a DMCA exception process put to this. So we'll see where this goes. And if they actually able to make something happen there and get this reversed. I'll believe it when I see it. If you live in Sweden, Swedish computer, tablet, and smartphone owners may have to pay a live TV tax. Sweden has announced to plan a live TV tax to computers, smartphones, and tablets to help keep up with streaming services like Netflix, HBO Go, says a report from the Wall Street Journal. As it stands now, Swedish citizens must pay a monthly tax for commercial-free broadcast programming on TV and radio. But now users who might have ditched their TV to access content over the internet will no longer be exempt from the tax. So they're going to get you that tax in any country. They're going to get you one way or the other. Over on YouTube, the YouTube partners are complaining about Google ad revenue sharing. Basically, some folks are saying, hey, we're doing a million downloads, and we're only making $2,500. So let me do some quick math here. Let me load a calculator, and let me do some quick math on, so a million downloads. Okay, divide that. Okay, and we'll divide this, and let's say one of our basic plans. About that much. Wow, they're getting ripped off big time. Hey, YouTubers, you need to become podcasters and start running some ad deals. We can make you a heck of a lot more money on that million views or million downloads. But basically, Everyone is in the entertainment group are complaining that they're not making enough money. And this is their premium, folks. And basically, Google's taking a 45% cut. Now, Raw Voice, when we work with advertisers, we take 30%. And with a per thousand click rates, or CPMs varying from partner to partner, from $2.50 per 1,000 views, which is really, my God, it's cheap. Some partners get as much as four times that, or $10 per 1,000 views. I have not ever, in the time that we have done podcast ad deals, have I ever paid any podcaster lower than about, the lowest we've ever had on any deal ever is $10. And so that's, you know, what we, what our stand, you know, that's what a, that's the lowest we would have ever paid for a an ad deal. And that's what some of their top folks get is only $10. So, you know, this is well short the rate partners can get for hosting videos and selling advertising independently. That's true, either on a CPM basis or otherwise. And last fall, video programmers at an event reportedly ganged up on the head of entertainment on YouTube saying, we're not making enough money. And it's probably true because they've got so much inventory. YouTube basically probably gets a lot of remnant data, a lot of remnant deals, and they just, you know, they sell every kind of crappy ad that's known to man on those videos, and that's why some of that stuff only gets $2, $2.50, because media buyers come in behind and say, well, what do you got left over? And we've got some advertising we want to put in there, but we'll take your remnant data, and we'll pay a couple bucks for that. And if, you know, think about that, $2.50 per 1,000, if Google's taking 45%, it's nothing, right? So interesting. It's always interesting to see the real numbers coming out of, you know, the folks that are on YouTube. All right, for one researcher who, and this is an article over on The Verge, he is proving that Twitter is a great tool in tracking the spread of illness. And basically, it's helping experts figure out where the spread of illnesses and other health risks are. And he's able to basically come up with hotbeds. It shows you where to stay away from. And people are tweeting, and the information's within those tweets on where they're at. And basically, they can see some trending. So this is pretty remarkable stuff. And I think that what you're going to see is more this type of data mining going on from people's social media sites. You know, they're already data mining the heck out of us personally. So I'm not surprised here that this is the case. But very cool stuff with their being able to derive from tweets and basically seeing where disease and all kinds of bad stuff is being spread. All right, a couple articles over in Geek News Central, one that came out this this afternoon. We got an announcement from Ford that, let's go back here. There we go. I got a from Ford basically talking about a new thing that's going to hit Europe. It's called, you ready for car sharing? Think about this. They're launching Ford to Go in Germany. So Ford Motor Company will launch Ford to Go in about 50 German Ford dealerships in its second quarter of 2013. Ford to Go will be the first automotive manufacturer-backed car sharing program in Europe. The program is a partnership between Ford, the German Ford Dealer Association, and DB Rent, the people behind Flinkster Car Sharing, and they will start out with around 500 cars. DB Rent has developed a web-based reservation and booking system, including an iOS and Android app. So basically, a poll recently showed that 56% people said they would be consider car sharing. Of the people interested, 27% would be most attracted by reduced travel costs, 26% by convenience of place and operating hours, 23% by straightforward booking system, and 22% by reduced impact on the environment. So Ford's German trade network includes 527 Ford dealers, 257 affiliated branches, any of which would be able to take place in this. So what do you think of car sharing? Would it make sense if you were able to share a car with someone versus, you know, basically like rent on demand? Kind of like, you know, we've got some of those types of services already for folks in cities that use it. But I think it's pretty cool. Interesting idea. And I know that some of that stuff's already being here, zip cars and that type of stuff here in the United States, where you but this is more of a true shared ownership. Another article over on Geek News Central was from the folks over at OWC. OWC was showing off their latest Apple products. And of course, OWC, better known as Otherworld Computing, and also Mac Sales, talking about some of their stuff that they have released, including their 2013 Viper SSD. It's a new drive that's capacity up to 2 terabytes. It can be used in almost any application, but is made ideally for RAID. Of course, OWC also plays a popular USB electric outlet solution that can be installed in place of a standard wall outlet in your home. However, this year, a 20-amp version was released. Finally, there are a couple more products unveiled, but watch the video on the website to check it out. Another article over on Geek News Central was, I had it up twice. Well, I had Ford to Go loaded twice, so that was stupid. And we get some stuff up from Munster MVP, talk about Aaron and IPv6, AMD with Chris Perillo. We've got JMO, personalized gifts, of course, the OWC that we just talked about, and, of course, a lot more. Make sure you're subscribed to the special media feed on Geek News Central. That way you'll never miss any of our special articles that we produce and put online. And definitely check it out at geeknewscentral.com. All right, over on Christopher Penn put something up talking about how to make shareable Facebook list. And if you've never set up lists before, you should do so. They make it a lot more interesting, and I have a number of lists set up on Facebook as well, just as I do on Google+. And it allows me to bracket people that I know that talk about certain things, and family members. So definitely check that out over on Chris Penn's website. I'll have the link up in the show notes tonight for you to check out. But again, how to make a shareable Facebook list. If you're a business owner and you have Sprint phones, Sprint, in response to Verizon and T-Mobile, has launched a shared data for business customers. Now, that's what we do. We're on Verizon. We have 6 phones that are all on our shared data plan. Basically, the 6 phones we get combined together, we get 12 or 15 gigs a month. We've never went over on all the phones being shared, not even come close. So for business, this makes a lot of sense. As long as your employees are responsible, come up on Wi-Fi when they can. But these shared data plans are pretty smart, and the breakdown in pricing really is attractive. We saved a huge amount of money going to a Verizon shared data plan. And it was big savings. Hey, tonight, again, if you have comments on tonight's show, hotline is available at 619-342-7365. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter. All right, Facebook to Nick Bilton and everyone else, and basically saying, seriously, there's no pay to play. Well, apparently over the weekend, there was an article in the New York Times where Nick Bilton was suggesting that Facebook was gaming its news feed so that users would have a reason to pay to promote their posts. The social network is publishing a lengthy post of its own, and here's the summary of the post that they put up. They said, yes, Facebook says we tweak our news feed algorithms all the time. We tweak everything all the time. He said, just because Bilton and others have seen engagement on their posts drop over time doesn't mean that it's happening for everyone. Overall engagement on posts from people with followers has gone up 30% year over year. And yes, people like Bilton and me and lots of other bloggers, writers, and other quasi-prominent people who started accumulating followers via the site's subscribe option early may have seen engagement drop. Why? Well, Facebook isn't clear as it should be on this, but it appears that folks that have a lot of followers and have lots of likes and shares and comments that generate, whether people didn't know what they're doing or less charitably, not real people at all, some kind of spat, bot, zombie. But Facebook is basically offering everyone a chance to boost their engagement numbers for a fee. So that's interesting here. They say we do all things all the time, but you can try to get your engagements number up by paying a fee. So it is essentially pay to play. Whatever Facebook says, it is pay to play. All right, those of you who have Samsung Galaxy S3s, the S4 is being announced on March 14th. I know you're aware of that, so keep that date in mind as you're getting ready. If you're thinking about buying a phone. All right, this is completely crazy stuff here. This is crazy news. I just kind of suspicious of it. But according to the folks at the Pirate Bay moves to North Korea and gets virtual asylum. Let me come back for a second. First of all, Dennis Rodman, the basketball player, was in North Korea and being all cozy with the president or whatever he is, the dictator there, and talking about best friends forever and all kinds of BS was coming out of his visit. I'll pay for his airline ticket to go back permanently. If he wants to go, be happy to pay for a first class, a one-way trip back to North Korea if he never come back. Now, the Pirate Bay, on the other hand, I don't think they really have servers in North Korea, but the Pirate Bay says it's been offered virtual asylum in North Korea. The move comes after the Norwegian Pirate Party was forced to stop routing traffic for the infamous BitTorrent site by a local copyright group. They can reveal that we've been invited by the leader of the Republic of Korea, of North Korea, to fight our battles from their network. The Pirate Bay said a trace route indeed suggests that the Pirate Bay is now being routed through the dictatorial company. Interesting. And if you look at the routing tables, it shows it's going through North Korea. So they don't know if there's a little trickery going on or what, but people still suspect the servers to be somewhere else. But at least from the IP routing standpoint, it looks like North Korea is providing some assistance to the Pirate Bay. Now, here's something to think about. You request a torrent via the Pirate Bay, and your IP is now going to get logged in North Korea. And if it's truly routing through the country, I would be very, very, very careful. If it's really, if the IP is really going through North Korea, that obviously probably says that the Chinese are sniffing it and the North Koreans are sniffing everything that you're doing via peer-to-peer. My suggestion would be, any of this may be overbroad, but I would stay away from the Pirate Bay just because of that. It's kind of weird, really weird that they've gone that direction. So, but the servers apparently are not, but your data still routes through that network, apparently. All right, apparently Gizmodo is going to be on TV. If we had a Top Gear for gadgets, would you watch it? Well, apparently they're going to have something on March, what day? They're going to be on one special event following Top Gear at 10:20 p.m. on March 18th. So if you watch BBC America, the debut of their first hour-long television Gizmodo, The Gadget Testers, on Monday, March 18th at 10:20 p.m. So if you like their show, you can get ready to tune in. All right, Angelo, when we were meeting in Chicago, Angelo was talking about his wife anticipating the release of SimCity. And she was really excited about the upcoming release. And obviously, a lot of people are anticipating that. So if you are anticipating the release of SimCity, you just be aware that it is coming. And so it's going to be out here in a few days and be available. I think it's actually tomorrow is when it's on the street. So go out and lay out your $50 or $60 or $70 or how much it costs, and you'll be able to get that. And of course, I'm looking at this graphics. I'm like, wow. I think the last time I played SimCity was like 10 years ago. That's pretty impressive. I guess you really can do some cool stuff with it now. Not what I need to be involved with for sure. All right, want to take a few minutes here, and I want to thank the folks over at Dyn, DYN.com. Dyn is a sponsor here at Geek News Central, and we've really been talking a lot about Dyn here over the past month and a half. So really, this is where the money hits the road. We're going to save you 30% off services at Dyn.com. by using the promo code PODCAST30. You know, 13 years ago, Dyne started their business, and they have gained a reputation for being the best in the world in managed DNS and outsourced DNS. And quite simply, they help websites with best-in-class uptime and keep web traffic to those sites flowing fast and furious. And some of the most well-known web properties in the world trust Dyne for uptime. Brands like Twitter, Zappos, Netflix, CNBC, Joyent, Salesforce.com, StumbleUpon, Pandora, Bleacher Report, and so on. And they have their enterprise email delivery service as well. They offer a full line of DNS and email products. And we really want you to take time and check everything out over at Dyne.com. And, you know, the DNS offerings start really inexpensive. Start as low as $20 per year all the way up to the enterprise level of $200 per month. Their email product line, again, starts really low, as low as $19.95 a year, as high as $200 per month, or even their email receiving products as low as $40 a year all the way up to $50 a year. And again, Dyne.com, world-class email delivery, email reception, and of course, their DNS products and services that they have. Managed DNS, outsourced DNS, Anycast DNS, Dynamic DNS, you name it, remote access, they've got it. We want you to try it. And again, go over to Dyne.com, D-Y-N.com. And when you get over there and you get to the checkout counter, do not forget the geek here at Geek News Central, because we've got this great promo code, PODCAST30. 30% off your order. Please use the code. Go over there and check it out. I know many of you have websites. This is going to help you out tremendously. Definitely check the folks out at Dyne.com. Promo code PODCAST30. All right, back to the topic at hand, and let me see where we were at here. Yes, we were talking about The Sims. NBC, piracy takedown skyrocket. I thought that was all over. I didn't think they were doing takedowns anymore. Well, NBC in 2012 did 3.9 million takedown notices for pirated content. According to the Wall Street Journal, 3 years earlier, NBC had only sent out 427,000 such notices. So piracy exploding, and NBC is barely keeping up fighting back. So lots of takedown notices by NBC. What else? Another topic here from The Verge. Twitter is discontinuing iPhone, Android, and Air versions of TweetDeck. That sucks. I really like TweetDeck. You know, they take a great tool and they get rid of it. So it's discontinuing several TweetDeck apps in favor of the web client. Again, Android, iPhone, and Air-based desktop clients will be affected. The apps will be removed from the store in early May and stop functioning soon after. Facebook integration will also be removed. So, you know, the apps relies on version 1.0 of Twitter's API, which has been superseded by 1.1. In a blog post, the TweetDeck team says, in order to offer a great product that addresses unique needs, we're going to focus our developments on modern web-based versions of TweetDeck. So this means they're going to destroy the product. That's what it means. I just can't imagine them being able to come out with something better. Seagate's phasing out 7,200 RPM mobile hard drives. Many of you go, what? But laptop hard drive speeds aren't tied strictly to revolutions per minute anymore, according to Seagate. Seagate is abandoning the 2.5-inch 7,200 RPM magnetic mobile hard drives for hybrids that have slower RPMs but integrate large solid-state drive caches, the company said Tuesday. So this is huge. So they're going to move SSD. They're going to have a hybrid drive. And they're going to have 5,400 RPM drives with a large SSD is faster than a pure 7,200 RPM magnetic drive. So you're still going to be able to get your speed on, folks, just a little different way. All right, last article, and this one here is probably doesn't affect very many people. Microsoft account renaming feature to make return with enhanced aliases. So when Microsoft introduced the new Outlook.com last year, brought the ability for its users to rename their Microsoft accounts to a new one. In doing so, you bring everything associated with your account, like your emails, contacts, SkyDrive, files, Xbox Live, and Music Pass, and more from your old accounts to your new one. Your old account becomes one of your aliases, so you can continue receiving emails from it. So just a little bit of information here. on what they're going to be doing, but you can rename your primary alias and so forth. So this will be coming back, making a return here with enhanced aliases. All right, let me go ahead and look and see if what I have in the email department. I don't know if I had it loaded. I don't think so. We'll get that loaded real quick. I know some stuff had come in via email. And, of course, if you've got a comment on today's show, you can do so at geeknews@gmail.com. You can send me an email. And let's load this up here. And it looks like the recording, knock on wood, is holding. It looks like the stream, even though it was down for a while, is holding. And let's see here. Let's look at the, okay. Got an email from Robin. And Robin says, Malware Bytes has reported a new zero-day Java exploit has been discovered that works against the latest version of Java, version 6 update 41 and version 7 update 15. Unfortunately, Oracle already announced end-of-life support for Java version 6 after February 2013, which brings up the question, if the latest zero-day will ever get patched for that version, the reason is so serious that according to StatOwl.com, almost half of all users running Java are still using version 6. This zero-day is not like other Java vulnerabilities, which a security manager can be disabled easily. The vulnerability results in an arbitrary memory read and writes in the JVM process. So, recent attacks, obviously with Apple, Facebook, and Twitter, all use Java zero-day to penetrate the company's networks. So, people are saying this is a big, big issue. And you need to be aware of this. And if nothing else, upgrade to version 7 of Java. At least that one is supported. Got an email here from Lawrence. They say, hey, Todd's Facebook social search via Graph has put the first nails in the coffin of multiple industries. It threatens to make marketing agencies, detective lawyers, and more obsolete. Graph tells you the intersection of people, places, photos, and interests from a billion members. Outcomes are very different than Googling someone since you're getting references rather than simply lookups. Graph is a computer science term for traversing data structure, not just up and down, but in any direction. Facebook Graph users, marketers, jealous spouses, potential employers could potentially search your past or potential whereabouts, activities, opinions, and friends. When using search engines, people tend to believe the results as fact or news. The now famous State Farm word you hear that commercial is a spoof on what happens when fact meets opinion. He says, I put Graph to test on two highly talked about items last month. I asked who would win Grammy's Best New Artist. The result, Scott McCree posted here as a miss because he wasn't nominated in 2013, although many people like him. I asked then who would win the Best Picture for Oscars Academy. I tried several variations, oddly no results at all, interpreting the results as too much like fortune telling. The system has potential for sowing doubt without enough facts. The implication is that we must give up more. The implication is that we must give up more of our privacy to make Graph accurate or take ourselves completely off the grid. Cheating spouses and Grammy winners aside, the evolution of social search outlines new job opportunities just as the first internet search engines did. So Lawrence wrote the book called Facebook for Your Business, and he talked about this feature in his book, and he feels that it's going to be an important platform for the next presidential election. So, Lawrence, thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for providing that feedback. But it looks like Graph right now can't completely accurately predict everything, but when it does, watch out. Hey, got a email from my buddy in Hawaii. He said, hey, Todd, thought you might find this interesting. Guess what is opening directly across the hall from the Apple Store at Ala Moana? Now, Ala Moana in Hawaii is the biggest mall currently in the state. What's opening directly across from Apple is a Microsoft store. He says, it will be very interesting to watch from the sidelines. Thanks, Ron, from that. I appreciate it. Got an email here from Jeff talking about why does Apple Lightning to HDMI adapter have an ARM computer inside? So we talked about this a little bit. I'll have this link up in the show notes. Hey, Mike. Also, Mike said, hey, Todd, I use your GoDaddy coupon code to get a website and domain name with an email account for only $46 for 1 year. Then I created my second podcast at Blueberry. You and the Ohana may enjoy the new podcast. It's called Space Rocket History. It's a history of rocketry and space exploration. I have heard you mention many stories about space exploration on GNC, so I thought you may have an interest in the podcast. Episode 1 covers ancient rocketry, is now available. Episode 2 will pick up the pace as we near 20th century, the most exciting time for rocketry. You didn't give me a website, spacedrockethistory.com. I saw it from his email address, so definitely check that out. Hey, glad you got the website and domain for $46. Too bad you missed the $1 per month economy, but it looks to me like you went with a little higher hosting plan. But still, $46 for a year, got the domain and the hosting account for $46. You know, give me a break. That's an amazing price. Okay, I think that's it for emails. Didn't check the voicemail hotline, apologize. But if you want to, you can tweet me at Geek News. DM me if you have something really important you want to cover. Email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Or call the hotline here at 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure bringing you the show tonight. It looks like we only had one little hiccup with the stream, which is good. Looks like the recording made it, which is even better. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. And, of course, you know, thanks for being part of the Ohana. You guys are why I do this show. And tell your friends, neighbors, people that you work with about the show. Let's grow the audience. And, hey, I want you to consider becoming an insider. It's only a few cents a day to start out. Just a few cents. I think we figured out it was like 7 cents a day for you to become a $2 a month contributor to Geek News Central. If everyone did that, every one of the audience members contributed $2 a day, we could get rid of all the sponsors. All right, folks. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.